Hi, everyone. Today's topic requires a brave heart to open up about. We're talking about grieving, self-care, and growing through pain and loss. This is Helena, host of Where Boundaries to Self podcast. And by now, you should know I love people. I love their stories, especially on transformation, because I believe the more we transform and learn about ourselves, the better we get at unleashing what makes us unique. And when that happens, we stand in our power and we can take ourselves, our businesses, our society to the next level and make this world a better place. And because of my fundamental belief that I happen to share with Philip, who I'm co-hosting this series with, Philip had the idea to do an exclusive growth series because we often talk about all things relating to growth. And for those who don't know, Philip's German and moved across the world to work in Silicon Valley in venture building and a tech startup. He's also Germany's top 40 under 40. So we've been both really exposed to a lot of uncertainty and growth moments in our lives.
Thanks for kicking it off, Helena. And once again, thanks for having me. Excited to do episode two of our growth series today. And I couldn't agree more. I know sometimes we disagree, but in this case, I do agree that talking about growth in our business environment, it's something that people sometimes don't do. We try to keep it focused on salaries and data, and we don't really talk about what happens in the person or between people. And yeah, today is a pretty special day for me. I'm turning 31 tomorrow. The topic we talk about today is grief. And a year ago, I lost my dad, and he passed away with 62. So for me, this is if I look at my father, this is half time, and that makes me reflect a lot about one thing: where do I want to grow towards? Like, what do I want to reach, and why do I do it? But also, I want to share some insights on like the past year. Because there's always these motivational memes where it says like you grow in the rain and you grow during pain. And when you read that, I think everyone's like, yeah, that's awesome, that's true. But then when those problems in the rain, when they actually happen, it's way harder than you think.
I mean, thanks again. It takes a brave heart to be able to open up about this. What do I need to know about you to understand who you were before you lost your dad and after?
Yeah, I always say that I was a child, even though I was 30 or 29 years old when he passed away. When he passed away, I had to become an adult. I had to become the man in the family, to be honest, because I'm the only child. When he was still here, my life was my playground. My career was my playground. And I always knew that that person or my parents, they had my back. And I'm thankful for everything they pretty much did to me, like raising me, putting myself together and getting me through school into university, giving me a lot of good values, pushing me. Sometimes, especially my dad, was pushing hard so that I wanted to be great. But when you lose one of those people who raised you and built you, and then at the same time, in a global environment, you have to step up and take the responsibility for your family, that was a huge change. A year later, now I can say that I'm proud of who I become or became, but in that moment, it's yeah. Ed Sheeran actually made a song about this. I think he talks about the fact that we're happy until we grieve the first time in life. That's when the darkness comes into our life for the first time, and that is 100% true. The moment you grieve for the first time, it just changes the way you look at life, and it takes some time to accept it and cope with it, to be honest. For everyone who's listening, who maybe has like who went through the same thing or is going through the same thing, there's a really good book that talks about the stages of grief. And that's like, I'm a pretty, you said it, I'm German, so I'm pretty irrational. So the first thing I started to do was to look at science processes that are behind grief, and that helped me a lot. I think there are five stages that everyone goes through, and depending on how close you are, whether it's like your friend, father, mother, partner, or child, it takes more time to go through those stages. And then that helped me a lot to just give myself orientation on like, where am I right now? I would say
It's
that was the first big step to go through it.
something happened. So I lost my cousin earlier this year.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, she was 35 and we were close. And I'm like really good at not kind of like not acknowledging what's going through. It's almost like distant enough that I'm not confronted with everything every single day. And my first response at work was just like, oh, I'll just plow into work and it'll be fine. Like this kind of escapism to, oh, I can, let me just focus on what I can control, which is dealing with the minor stresses of work. That seems surmountable. That seems easier for me to understand than this thing. Is that something that you experienced as well? Or what did you, how did you deal with it? Like,
Yeah, I would say
essentially.
there's a huge risk associated with that method, to be honest. If it's far enough away, I think it's okay. But I see it in my environment. People who lose people, I would say 70 to 80% of those people, they do exactly what you just described. And it can lead, from what I've seen, it can lead to like problems that come back later that are much worse. So yeah, shifting the voice here a little bit, talking about a growth challenge and grief in the end, you can grow a lot through grief. What I did is I went all in, to be honest. When we flew back to Germany, I put together an album with all pictures of us together, all videos on the flight, which I know other people, they don't look at pictures for years.
Oh, really?
And it was tough. Like you cry a lot, you go all I went all in. I felt all the feelings I was feeling and I wanted to feel them. And I did that for, I would say, 1 or 2 weeks. Like I went to places we were together and did some things we did together. And I fully took it in. I also had the ability to get off work for 4 weeks. So that was possible with my employer and with my management. And I'm insanely grateful for it, because living in the US and then losing someone in Germany, it's a lot of work and it's complicated. But like any challenge, for me, it helped a lot to fully take it in, to not look away and let it all go into myself and feel what I'm actually feeling. And I am really convinced that that did speed up my process of healing to a position where I'm sad. I miss that person and I miss the relationship, but I was able to continue with life much faster because I didn't play down the feelings or the symptoms, and I just fully went all in. I would recommend that you don't look away. You just have to feel the feelings, because otherwise they stay inside of yourself,
But
and
that's
that
so
is
scary.
risky. Yeah.
I feel you that it's risky. Like I used to joke that in my previous relationships, whenever I would go through a breakup, I would not be affected by the breakup for the first 6 months, only to then wake up and be overcome with sadness and just be like, what is going on with myself? Why do I miss this person so much? Why do I suddenly question all the decisions that I made and all the things? And that's exactly a result of just completely neglecting what you need. And what I ultimately did in that time was just go after and just experience this new gained freedom and do all the things and like prove to myself that my life was so much better. And, you know, just leaning into that other space of, yeah, just being more extreme and also just more, you know, externally oriented with what life could, you know, how life could pleasure me in a sense, you know, instead of building that intrinsic happiness or that intrinsic joy that is that comes from being in touch with your emotions and understanding where you're at, right? And I think that's what you're talking about is like, hey, it is important to go within and be really honest with yourself about where you're at. For me, that's something that's so hard. It's so hard for me to look within and be super honest. Like I notice that it's easier for me to understand how I feel when I talk to someone about it. Like my partner is super reflective and very empathetic. And so sometimes when I'll say things And I'll be like, oh, I don't feel this way. He's like, of course you feel that way. You've been talking about this topic for 3 weeks in this way. I don't know where you get the impression that you don't feel a certain way about this, but let me tell you, you do. And then I'm like, oh, okay, well, let me explore that a little bit. But it's so easy for me in my personality to shy away from that. I don't know. How
Because we're
did you?
trained to do this, but let me ask you a question. As you said, being honest is pretty important. Like, if this was the last day of your life, would you be doing what you're currently doing?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's a good
Yeah.
thing.
I'm
That is a
very
good thing.
conscious of what I like, why I do something, what it means to me, what it means to society. Like, that's always been like a huge topic for me. Yeah, I think I would.
Very good.
I am currently exploring though and leaning into the fact of having more, like working less, because I am still very attached to this whole work, 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 and through work comes growth, and growth makes me happy. And I do think that there is an aspect in life where we can just,
How do you define work?
how do I define work? Working towards progress, like if it's on my podcast, you know, being able to move the needle. Like at the moment, I'm in a huge phase of reinvention. And so there's been a lot of work of rebranding and doing this differently and doing that differently and increasing my push on Instagram, for example. And so that for me is like, okay, I have certain goals, and like, okay, how am I progressing against those?
That's something pretty interesting last week, that you should never measure yourself based on results or outcomes, but on input.
On input.
On input. So
What kind of input?
for example, if you're like doing your podcast, or if you're trying to achieve something new, don't measure the result, especially at the beginning. Just say, this is the input I'm going to put into something, and then do that and trust the process. Like, let's take the
Interesting.
easy example of you want to lose weight, right? You put together a plan which says you work out 5 times a week. Let's say you don't eat dinner 5 times a week in order to get like a fasting window, and you have your calorie deficit. And after 1 week, you look at the result and it's not there. And that can be very frustrating. But many things in life are just science. You have to keep putting in the work. So when people look at the input and they say, okay, I had all my healthy meals, I had all my workouts. In your case, I did my, like, that's the post I wanted to do. If you measure yourselves on the inputs, you will be happy with your result because you did everything you wanted to do. And then the results, they will happen. So I heard that again on a motivational speech during a workout this week. And I was like, this is so true.
I think it requires both, honestly, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you just measure your input and you're not actually looking at how it's tracking, you're not looking how you're adapting. And so I think it
Good
requires
point.
both, you know? I think it does require looking and being very honest about, like, I'm willing to put in this much work, and I think this is the work that is going to be required to attain this kind of output. Like, have that negotiation with yourself. But then also be super honest with yourself and is like, okay, is this actually working or not? And if it's
Very
not
good point.
working, then maybe I could be working smarter. And that's what I'm coming to, is like, oh, I need to be working smarter because I'm putting more in creatively. And so I need more regeneration phase. I need more time for my creativity to blossom and to feed me stuff. And so that's where the realization that I'm coming through, and I'm trying to lean into more downtime, more mindful downtime. Like, just like a small example is like being able to block off my time over lunch and just go for a dip in the ocean because it's right around the corner.
I would love that. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah, well, maybe then it's just about the timeline to measure results.
Yeah,
Right. If
that
that
is
is healthy, you
accurate.
put in the work, and then after 4 weeks, you look where you're going, and then you adapt. I mean, if you look at building a business or a startup, you have to pivot every now and then. But for a certain amount of time, you
You
have
just
to
have to
trust
put it
the
in.
input.
I fully agree with that. And that's something I learned as well on, honestly, in my entrepreneurial journey, working in a startup, is that you can't be deviating too much in the beginning. You have to go for it and be consistent for a certain while so that you can actually tangibly measure whether something is working or not. Very true.
Yeah.
Going back to
So
emotions. Let's go back
emotions
to
and
emotions, man. Hard
Yeah, I asked
stuff.
you that question. Would you do the same thing if this was your last day in your life? And for the first time last year, I understood that this is not going on forever. And also, you do not know when it ends. Because my dad, he was healthy, he was on vacation, and it's not like we knew it for years. You can try to be healthy and live long, but the thing is, you never ever know. And then putting things on a bucket list, you want to do stuff when you retired. My dad would have retired with 63. He had huge plans for his retirement, and he saved all his money for retirement.
Oh my God.
So, do what you want to do and do what you think you can do best.
So let me challenge you here, because like I think what, for example, Gen Z are often blamed for is that they hop jobs way too fast and they're not very consistent and they don't really stay in. And here you are being like, yes, keep doing that thing. Just live your life for the moment. Go and do the travel. You don't have to, like, you know. But how does that look like within yourself, that negotiation? Because you're not someone who's just taking it easy, who's doing all the things, right? I also had a podcast guest on. Conversation hasn't been released yet, but he found out with 20 that he had cancer, and the chances of him surviving was on like under, I don't know, 10% or something like that. And so it was a miracle that he survived. And I said, how did that change your life? You know, he says, well, I was just more radical in how I made decisions. You know, it was not necessarily because he's now a CEO, he worked at McKinsey. So he did all of these things that were super demanding, right? And so it's quite the opposite. He didn't lean back and decide to do nothing. Actually, instead, he just poured himself more into life and took those riskier decisions faster. Is that something you experience yourself?
100%. And I love that we come back to that topic from our last episode a little bit. I would say what you just said, there's a little assumption behind that. People don't
This
want to
is
do
true.
anything,
I do
right?
have that assumption a little bit, man. I
Yeah.
do.
And I have to say, in my opinion, people want to, but we build a culture and we build a society where our beliefs are so limited. And boundaries, I would say, within certain boundaries that align with your target in life, you should be radical and do whatever is right. If your boundary means you want to have a safe, good life with a good job that pays your bill, that you can spend time with your family, and you want to have a 4-day work week, you should do the things that lead to that goal immediately. And you should be bold enough to ask for it. You should be bold enough to talk about it and to fight for it. For me, my North Star is not a 4-day work week. I want to live big. I want to execute on my vision. I want to see the world. I want to live in the world. I want to give my children a very cool life. I want to have time with them. So I have all these things. And then there are certain boundaries that you have to respect in order to get there. Like, I cannot jump jobs every 6 months. Of course not. There are boundaries in our world that you have to respect. And I think within those boundaries, you should be radical and you should execute on your vision. But it all comes back to that topic we discussed before, the North Star and the vision. And if Gen Z has a different vision, not everyone wants to become the next Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk or
I mean, I really loved it how you said life has limitations and there are natural boundaries, but be bold within those boundaries. Like, that's amazing advice. I love that so much. How can we challenge ourselves to be a little more bold? What do you need to give yourself to be bold?
Think you have to come from a position of strength, and that has to come from your inside. Think you have to build a character, a physique that gives you confidence, and then with that you can play to win in life. And that is something that helped me a lot in the last decade, where like my whole youth and childhood, I wasn't the most athletic. I was a little bit chubby, but in my early 20s, I discovered discipline through sports and nutrition. And this is how I always call it my armor. This is something that can be broken. Like I do my healthy nutrition, I do my workouts, and it gives me the confidence to be very radical about my life. I think everyone who wants to challenge the status quo and want to change something outside of them, they have to start inside of them and build a foundation. Because as soon as you want to change something out there, let's say you want to build a company and you talk to first customers or first investors, you can have eight amazing conversations and then two terrible ones. And prospect theory, that psychological piece, says that these two, they will actually hurt so much more than the eight positive ones. And if you're not strong from the inside,
It'll
change
break you.
and feedback from the outside will 100% break you. So the
I would.
recommendation is build your internal foundation.
I love that. And I mean, you're for you, it works through your physique, right? And I do fundamentally believe as well that self-discipline is self-love, because when you prove yourself that you are a disciplined, reliable person, you show up, you do the things that you say you're going to do, that just sprinkles throughout the rest of your life, and you become a trustworthy person because you trust yourself. And that makes you strong because that builds your self-confidence. I would take it even further and say whatever is holding you back inside, because for me, I was always an athletic person. What I struggled with was being super emotional about stuff, just like very emotionally sensitive. And I was just emotionally not stable. You know, I would deal like, again, coming back, also touching upon what we talked about in the last episode, but just like any kind of change in my life would just completely derail me. I was an emotional eater. I developed all these allergies. I had like bad skin conditions and all of this kind of stuff. My gut was really not happy. And I just had to realize, okay, I need to get my life, my internal, my health in order and work through that. And that whole process of working through that showed me, oh, I can do the hard things. I've done the hardest
That's
thing in my
impressive.
life that I thought that I was never going to overcome. And because I did that, I have confidence in myself to overcome other hard things. And so I would say, to be additive to what you say, because I fundamentally believe in what you were saying, is whatever is causing you a hard time, whatever that cycle is in your life that you keep having to relearn and revisit, figure out a way to break it. Like, figure out how to work with yourself and through it and prove yourself that you can do the hard stuff. And then that's your foundation to take the next step and be like, oh, what's the next thing that is hard that I'm afraid of? And that I live, kind of going back to our very first conversation, living a life of mediocrity. What keeps me within that mediocrity? What allows me to penetrate that and take the next step?
I love it. Nothing to add there. Like, the only thing is the input. Once again, don't measure the exact result, but like, what do
Right.
you put in? What
I
happens inside
yeah,
yourself?
that makes a lot of sense now, the angle that you're coming from, because the input also makes you appreciate yourself and what you're doing. The self-compassion part that keeps you motivated to keep showing up. Like, oh my God, I'm doing all these things. Like, I'm really working towards something. I can acknowledge that.
And self-love, I think, is the beginning of greatness. Let's be honest.
Wow.
If you start with very small things like a bedtime routine where you wash your face and you do like a cleansing and then you do your teeth and you do them re like right so that the dentist is actually happy with you,
Yeah,
and
you
you
floss.
do
That's what
you,
we're saying.
yeah you floss, yes. They all want you to floss, and you start doing that, and these small things, they give you, like, you appreciate yourself because you deliver what you ask from yourself. Always have a list. I have it in my notes in my iPhone, and it's called the weekly check-ins. And I have three different layers. One is health and sports, one is family and social, and one is professional. And then I have every single week, I have the same stupid, easy check-ins, which is play tennis twice a week, workout twice a week, yoga four times a week, and healthy nutrition, purely healthy, on 5 days a week.
Oh,
And
really?
that's
Interesting.
really high already. Like, you
Yeah.
people don't have to start like
Really?
that. I think
Oh man, I beat
work.
myself up when I miss the gym once. I'm just like, oh my
See,
God, I'm slacking.
but I worked out 5 to 7 times a week during
Yeah.
college. But let's be honest, I'm a father now.
Yeah.
I have an executive position. I do a lot in my professional life, and I'm clear what my priorities are. Like I'm not an athlete. I don't get paid for this. This is just to make me feel better.
Worth.
So those are the sessions I do. And then on my personal life, that's the second layer. I want to do 2 nice things for my wife a week. That's like how I measure it. Just the
Love
input.
that.
And when the it doesn't have to be big. It's like cooking or bringing something home for dinner, or I'm not good at flowers, to be honest. But yeah, those things. And then the other thing is literally the professional life. Where do I want to go to? And there, for example, I have listen to TechCrunch 5 days a week, the TechCrunch weekly podcast, and then listen to 2 deep dives on artificial intelligence right now. So I have these lists, and then every single week, the self-love comes when I make these check marks. And then on Sunday, I clean it all up and we go into the
Interesting.
next week.
Interesting. So I have a challenge here because your self-love is still tied to accomplishment.
Yeah.
I would challenge and say self-love is how you treat yourself when you've messed up, when you haven't shown up, when you don't stick to something, when you experience a setback, when you said something in a wrong way and you didn't mean for that and it came out weird. And for me, self-love is, oh, I'm really struggling right now and I made a mistake. And I can acknowledge that I made a mistake, but I can appreciate that I put myself out there and I'm willing to learn. And
I
for
would agree with
me,
that part.
yeah, because, you know, if we're trying and we're working, we're messing up. We can talk about the types of mistakes 100%, whether you were able to prepare better, set yourself up for success, all the things, right? But ultimately, if we are putting ourselves out there, and we are trying to live and take more risk and be more bold, things are going to go wrong. And it's going to create a little bit of a stir in your life. And I do think that the routines are key. Self-discipline is key. But I think to add on top of that, that emotional layer to keep yourself in high energy for what you're doing, it's going to require that positive psychology aspect where you're gentle and you're kind to yourself and you're compassionate. Like for me, I used to dance 5 times a week in Zurich. I was doing a completely different genre. And so when I came to LA, the studios were super far away. And the genre that I was dancing in, there was hardly any coverage. It was like Afrobeat dancehall. And so I was like, okay, I basically can choose from heels and hip hop, both of which that I didn't have much experience in. And I started going, and number one, my self-talk was extremely negative because I was blaming myself for only going once a week, even though the distances were ridiculously long. And second, I'm still having a really hard time being a beginner in heels because I'd worked on this other style so much in Zurich. And so those things, it's like, okay, if I keep talking to myself this way, I'm not going to be showing up anymore. It's both, right? It's the input, acknowledging yourself, but also when you are getting to know yourself and learning to be nice and gentle to yourself. So I think it's an and.
I don't know if I agree or disagree, to be honest.
Uh-oh, let's go.
You, because honestly, I think the foundation is the person itself. Like, what are your beliefs and what is the vision? For me, I am very self-critical on my inputs. Like, I know who I want to become, and I define the inputs that should, not will, lead me there. So if I don't execute on those inputs, I am self-critical with myself. But if I put in the input, if I do my checks and it's all there, and then things don't work out, I don't have a problem with it, to be honest.
But that's a high standard you're constantly measuring yourself against, right?
Yes,
Which can be very tiring.
it
Like if you're
is.
measuring yourself against that and you have a new family, you lose someone, you move countries. Like My standard for my podcast dropped when I moved to the US. I lost momentum because I just didn't have the capacity. And it wasn't supporting the situation that I was being hard on myself for it. Like, oh, you're not showing up. It's like, okay, yeah, but I'm also building a new network of people. I'm going through a new job. I have to adjust my priorities. I can't be doing everything all at once. Certain things just take more time. And it was really hard. And if I applied your thinking, you know, and I didn't adjust a little bit and I didn't acknowledge myself, I would have gone crazy.
Yeah, I think that is a necessary step to adjust the expectation you have for yourself based on your external environment. 100%. Let's take the example of the workouts. It is like, I'm a pretty damn good golfer, but being a father, I completely took golf out of the game for myself. Because it is not realistic. So I would say what you just described is every now and then you have to adjust your inputs that you want to achieve based on reality. Like the life that you are in right now. And in my situation, yes, the last year, and you know, I have a YouTube channel as well, where I interview founders and top managers and we drive around Silicon Valley. I had to choose priorities. Because grief and working through that, pregnancy, and I reduced my workload in the gym because I try to like work out four times a week and play tennis twice a week and practice golf as well twice a week and do sports twice a day. And what you just described happened to me. It happened. I was every single Sunday I looked at that list and I didn't achieve 50% of my topics. It didn't work anymore. So then I adapted my inputs and I was more realistic on it. And that gave me my self-love back. In the end, I stand with my point. If you set yourself a target for a day, a week, a month, and you achieve it, you will respect yourself.
I love that. I love how we've been able to reach this. Because I do agree, you need a goal, but you also need to be realistic with yourself and not just push yourself against some kind of imaginary state that you... Like audacious goals are good, but also how you're getting there. Like, what are the sprints looking like to achieve them? Like, what is your weekly, what is it? I think some podcast guy was like talking about, I don't remember which podcast it is. I also don't remember who it was, but I think there was something along the lines of we overestimate what we can accomplish
in a day,
in a year, and underestimate what we can do in 3 years, something like that.
Yeah, I know that one is we overestimate what we can do in a day and we underestimate what we can do in a year. That's how I know it.
Yeah, so much sense.
But it's true. You want to read a book, if it's a big book, you won't read it in an hour.
Yeah.
But if you read for 20 minutes every day,
you will finish it.
The book is gone like this. If you 100%. Work out 120 minutes a week, and you eat healthy five days of 7 days, your weight is going to be gone. Brian Tracy wrote that book, Goals. It explains how to set goals and how to break them down. If it's a huge goal, you always have to break them down to a day so that you know what you do on a daily basis that brings you to the goal.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. I think this was really great, man, going from grief to incorporating
growth.
Self-care
grief to growth.
And growing through it and using goals and breaking them down and being nice to ourselves and using discipline as a fact of self-love. I love that. Yeah.
Me too. It has been a journey. And it has been, as always, a really good conversation.
Thanks, everyone, so much for tuning in. Make sure you're following us. Make sure you're rating us, liking the episodes, sharing it. It helps us to reach more of you that are interested in growth as we are. So thanks so much for tuning in and we'll see you next time.
Thank you from my side as well.